Can full employment in America actually become more than full employment? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. We'll start with what I would call a feature, but some others might call a bug in the economy for 2018. There's good chance that unemployment already low will drop further still this year. Economist Diane Swonk has been writing about this. Morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So unemployment, can it get lower? I mean, it's at 4.1%, according to the latest data on Friday.
It can get a lot lower, and in fact, this year we're going to blow through that 4% threshold and see a 3% handle again, which we haven't seen since the latter part of the 1990s boom.
So way past what economists used to call full employment, which sometimes fell in the 5% range. But still, when you get below 5%, we were supposed to see inflation, and the Fed isn't seeing much. I'm not seeing much.
No, they're not, and they will. The good news is this year will be a transitional year. We're going to see a turning point where firms really realize they can no longer skim the cream from the top of the milk, but have to churn the milk a bit into butter to get employees to work for them and to bring up the skills of those people who they feel have a skills gap. This is the point in time when you start really reaching into a broader pool of employees to hire, and we're already starting to see the very beginnings of that. The real combination of it will be an acceleration in wages, I think, around spring to midsummer.
All right. So that's a good trend if you're out looking for a job for 2018 and a new challenge and some level of burden for employers. Congratulations, Diane. You have some news of your own today.
I do. I'm chief economist at Grant Thornton with my whole team here, and it's just an extraordinary experience doing the strategy with all these different companies.
All right. The audit and consulting firm Grant Thornton. Diane, again, congratulations and thank you.
Thank you.
Now, we reported last week on the security vulnerability affecting just about every computer you'll ever touch. It's a software problem in Intel processors and a hardware problem in Intel and many other processors. Security experts identified the problem months ago and had been working with companies on a fix. But now it's emerged that Intel CEO Brian Krzanich exercised stock options and sold shares worth $39 million during the time the wider world didn't know of the security flaws. The Wall Street Journal talked to experts who say those sales were unusual. Over the weekend, two big investors in Apple publicly asked that company to address smartphone addiction among children and teenagers. The activist investing firm JANA Partners and the California State Teachers Retirement System collectively own about $2 billion of Apple shares, which is a sliver of Apple's market capitalization, but not nothing. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra is here live. Mariel, what does this letter they sent to Apple say?
It points to a bunch of studies that look at the effects of smartphone use on kids and teenagers. And in one study, almost 80% of teens said they checked their phones hourly. Half said they felt addicted. Other research shows that teens who are heavy smartphone users are more likely to be sleep deprived. Also, eighth graders who use social media heavily have a higher risk of depression. So these investors are asking Apple to do more research and to use the findings to educate parents and to create new tools in the iPhone that helps parents manage their kids' usage. And they argue that this isn't just a nice thing to do, that it would create value for the company in the long run, because they say Apple's viability is linked to the long-term health of its youngest customers and also the health of our society and our economy.
Mariel, thank you. And this global survey from Accenture, people who ask Alexa or Siri for info in their homes tend to use their smartphones less often. The implication for humans is that devices like the Amazon Echo may keep you from wasting time falling into your phone. The implication for Amazon and Apple is that Siri and Alexa might mean you're exposed to less advertising or other services they sell through the phone. Been watching the brave folks on the shared bikes here in New York dodge the ice and snow patches this week. Cities are struggling to keep roads safe for bikes as cycling becomes more and more popular for commuting and for fun. The data on bike use can be thin, but there's a smartphone app that could be of use to city planners. From Texas Public Radio, Paul Flav reports.
Rick Turnbill glides through pedestrians and cars in downtown San Antonio.
Excuse us. There's a bunch of us.
He's riding with a dozen other cyclists.
Who else can ride around the Alamo on their weekly ride?
While he loves this route, Turnbull says the city needs more bike infrastructure to protect cyclists from motorists. Cities across the country are turning to big data for solutions. Georgia Institute of Technology professor Stephen French says the hope is to help chart the path forward on bike infrastructure for city planners.
So they can both plan for where they need to make additional bike lanes and routes, and then correct kind of smaller scale problems like where there's problems at a particular intersection or crossing.
The problem for many planners in Texas is they don't know much about which routes cyclists are traveling, says the state's bicycle and pedestrian coordinator, Terry Kaplan.
There's actually virtually no real data that's consistently maintained for bicycles and pedestrians.
That's why Texas just paid an undisclosed amount for 2 years' worth of data from the popular cycling app Strava, which has 84,000 Texas users. Strava Metro's been aggregating and selling it off since 2014 to 100 cities globally. Alex Carroll with the Alamo Area Metropolitan Planning Organization just got the data and is excited, but says Strava only paints part of the picture.
Wealthier, middle class, white males tend to be overrepresented, minorities and women less so.
According to the Texas Department of Transportation, Strava tracks at most 20% of the entire biking community. Guys like Rick Turnbill, who is excited about the development.
I think it's smart. I think it's the best thing you can do. Instead of guessing where to put a bike lane or where to put the infrastructure, they can go see what's being used.
With the goal of making the roads safer for all commuters. In San Antonio, I'm Paul Flav for Marketplace.
We're also reporting today about a survey of African American, Asian American, Latino American, and white American millennials who answer very differently when asked if things are going to get better for the country versus are things going to get better for you personally. The Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed or marketplace.org if you missed that on the air. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.